On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast,
we got poop, we got pee, we got sweat, we have tears. I mean, we're just built to push stuff out. That's the balanced understanding people have to realize. Not everything is for everybody. You're going to look at something, you have to find out what's my inclusionary and exclusionary criteria. Through the sands of time is the ohm. You don't have to sit in Lotus and do your little fingers either. There'll be none of that on those platforms anymore.
Oh, come on. You got to be more specific than that. What'd you say?
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
Hey folks, Dr. Anthony Beck. Cool guy. He was first on my show in a podcast called The Danger of Shrooms. That kind of gives you a clue what that was all about. Eating and supplementing seasonally, whether lectins are really bad for you, and a whole lot more. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a real thought leader, especially in the functional medicine world. He has over 20 years of experience in functional medicine, Chinese medicine, clinical nutrition, orthomolecular medicine, hormone replacement, sports medicine, exercise physiology. The list goes on and on. His name came up a few weeks ago when I interviewed Dr. Leland Stillman. We were talking about the environment and your health. And Leland was like, well, I learned chock full of information that I learned from Dr. Anthony Beck. And it kind of jogged my memory that I haven't talked to Anthony in a while. And so I figured we should catch up and let you guys be a fly on the wall and also talk about unique program that he has about optimizing your personal environment in a way that profoundly impacts your health. That one's called Balance Enviro. I got my hands on it and went through it. And from air to light to water to electrical optimization, it's a pretty cool program. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's five-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Leela Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Leela does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know, but all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Leela Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Leela Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. All right, folks, you may have heard the recent podcast episode I recorded with this cat who designed a drink. His name is Zach Abbott. He designed a drink that you throw back, it's a little shot, and it digests the toxic byproducts of alcohol for you, meaning that you feel great the next day after you've been drinking. And while I only endorse holiday responsible drinking and responsible drinking in general, it is nice to know you can maybe sneak in an extra cocktail or a glass of wine just because that holiday party is so freaking long and there's nothing to do but drink. So you throw back a shot of this stuff and it basically digests acetaldehyde for you, which is the chemical unwanted byproduct of alcohol. And so what they've done is they've bioengineered this probiotic to do that for you. And it works amazingly. You feel great the next day. It's very, very simple. You get a box of this stuff. You throw back a shot of it before you drink. Or if you forget, sometimes people are forgetful and you remember halfway through the party, you just throw it back then. And here's the deal. They've got steep discounts going on. You go to ZBiotics, called ZBiotics, if you're in Europe, ZBiotics.com/Ben. ZBiotics.com/Ben. You get 15% off your first order when you use code Ben at checkout. 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason because you had 8 glasses of wine and you woke up the next morning and you weren't feeling that great, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. But please don't have 8 glasses of wine. So you go to ZBiotics.com/Ben. Use code Ben at checkout for 15% off. You got to try this stuff. Everybody I've told about ZBiotics, they have literally come back and said, dude, I had no clue. I was skeptical at first. I was skeptical myself, but it actually works. Very interesting. So zbiotics.com/Ben.
Anthony, welcome back to the show, man.
Good to be back with you, brother.
So you were mentioning before we started recording, you just got canceled on, what did you say, Twitter?
Yeah, I got, I'm in Facebook and Twitter. I'm going for Instagram. We're going to see if we can get the hat trick going here pretty soon. So.
Ooh. So what did your account get totally taken down or?
Well, as of right now, I'm on suspension. I always fight back. So I, appealed it and then they turned down my appeal, but they haven't given me how long. So I have no idea. So it could be. Yeah.
What, interesting. What'd you do, you bad boy?
spoke the truth. There'll be none of that on those platforms anymore.
Oh, come on. You got to be more specific than that. What'd you say?
Well, I talked about, there was two things. I make comments. I don't mention anybody specifically in them. They're pretty generic regarding some of the things that is absolutely taboo, like the various things that are going on with the bending of science as pertains to gender.
Mm.
And the mental illness that's associated, with that. And I know that gets me a lot of stuff, but that's fine. I got broad shoulders, but I didn't make any bad or hate speech comment. I was just basically saying that, when, people want to do certain things that are unhealthy, for them, that we shouldn't enable them. I used what an example was people who are, that we love. That are anorexic and they stand in front of a mirror and say, I'm fat and they're 92 pounds. We go, listen, you're not mentally well. That's not good. It's going to be harmful to you. And I was referring to people that we love, people in our families and stuff, not just going. But anyway, so that was the context of that statement. And that was, I guess, taken wrong. I don't know, or whatever. I just basically just don't think that we should enable people who are clearly mentally ill because they're not seeing things for the reality that they are.
Mentally ill or like say 6 years old and unable to potentially make a fully educated decision about say what gender they are.
You got it. And that's my thing is I tell people, you can always hear it in my voice. I'm a country boy at heart and, I love people. I don't have any of that hate and stuff in me whatsoever. But the thing is I'm a staunch scientist. I look at not only the literature, but I got my training and my education through the Dewey Decimal System, not Googling.
Yeah.
Googling is just all about placement. So when people quote unquote do research or I research something that today really, except in rare situations, means that you Google search something or DuckDuckGoed, whatever or you pinged it. You got to get into the textbooks. There's some well-established stuff in there. So true researching something takes more than that. And that's what I do in everything that I do. I'm really open to all kinds of things. But there's certain things that are pretty established in science. But science is never finished, right? It's a process. It's a method. It's one of those kind of things where I just get that for getting people to question stuff and just say, you don't have to accept that narrative. I always tell people, don't believe me just because, I say it either. Here's where I got my information from and here's where, some of the things that I have that you'll call anecdotal. But to me, they're professional clinical experience, 27 years in the realms of integrative and functional medicine, right? And I train physicians for a living. That's what I do, like Dr. Stillman, wonderful guy, and he's among, you know, a group or a growing body of those that are of the same like mind, and we really change lives. We're not digital marketers and niche pickers and telling everybody, you know, all wellness begins and ends with the gut. And so anytime I say stuff like that on, that was my other thing on Facebook, people will just complain or flag it. You know, you'll get the cancel culture thing going, and you get enough people to just flag the post, just claiming that it's hate speech, which is code for they disagree with you. Yep, you'll get suspended. So that's what happened to me on those platforms. It's unfortunate, but
wow. Wow. Well, you know what? You know, as John Denver said, and as you just alluded to, there ain't much an old country boy like you can't hack. So I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm good.
You'll figure it out.
I will.
You mentioned kind of like your learning process, and you delve into you know, things that go beyond, say, Dr. Google or Dr. DuckDuckGo, if you're trying to protect your privacy or Quant or whatever else you're using as a search engine. I'm curious, what is your learning process? Do you have like a mentor that you really looked up to and learned from? You know, like I mentioned, like when I talked to Leland Stillman, he dropped your name. But if I ask you, you know, whose name are you going to drop, or do you have specific journals or digests or methods of learning what you learn that would really come to be top of mind for you?
Well, yes and no. No. I did not have any mentors.
Me neither. I get that question all the time, and I always feel bad when there's two questions I get asked. How have you messed yourself up with some crazy biohack, and who's your mentor? And for both, I'm like, never really messed myself up, and I don't really have a mentor, but it's interesting.
But I've learned, you know, a lot, you know, a basis of a lot of stuff. You know, it ranges from, man, just a ton of people all the way from, you know, going back to, you know, Beauchamp and Lena Dar and Jensen, Watson, Riddick, Reams, Ravici. There's just a ton, right? And these are people that had different pieces, but they didn't necessarily know each other, right, or work together and stuff. And so I went off the works of previous masters, if you will, or titans.
Who are all those people? Those all doctors you just listed off, or?
Yeah, they're all physicians from back in the day, man. Huh. I mean, we're talking, I have some texts that are just awesome. You know, they got that funky smell when you open them up, like your grandma's basement.
Yummy. What kind of doctors?
The vast majority of them were MDs, but most of them were MDs. Ones that started me early on, of course, was George Watson, Nutrition and Your Mind, you know, and then you got Pfeiffer's work, and there's just tons of these guys. There's just a lot of stuff. Here's the thing, though. They didn't have the diagnostics that we have today. So what they couldn't explain, but they could report that their observations were, because remember, that's what scientific method is observation. And we try to prove things wrong, not prove them right, you know, and give them to other people and you see if you get the same result. You form a hypothesis. The thing is now we've got laboratory assessments, functional labs that substantiate what they saw. You know, I've been a biological terrain guy, not germ theory guy from the beginning. It just didn't make sense to me. I was like that. And it was as many thousands of hours of, you know, looking in a microscope, you know, dark field and phase contrast, and you see things and you go, that just doesn't add up. You know, I've never believed in the virus topic of today, and I've always known them to be exosomes. I've always known them to be non-living things, and saw what was going on here recently. I'm like, oh man. And it's like, you don't have access to this stuff unless you used to, you know, use the, like I said, the Dewey Decimal said, you had a card catalog. You got to go put some research into some books. And so that's where I came. I didn't have a mentor, but I say that because that's answering that question. But yes, my mentor have been my patients, tens of thousands of them. Hmm. And their unique stories, my goodness, that's been, I've always said, is my greatest teacher.
Interesting. That's good feedback. In terms of this program, I believe it's called, and I'll link to this, by the way, if you guys go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/primepodcast, I'm going to link to all of Dr. Beck's stuff and our previous podcast, in which we took a much deeper dive into his history. So that's why I'm not spending a ton of time on his background, because you can just go listen to that initial podcast. So anyways, though, you've got this kind of unique, what you call a balance prime approach.
Balance protocol, right. So balance protocol is my method. It evolved over, 27 years, but it's been around. I mean, it took me the first 5 years to come up with it. But so balance protocol prime is a program that I put together to, you know, give access. It's a free online course that gives the foundational understanding of all the principles, tenets, and methods of balance protocol. So people go, well, what's what's this guy's shtick? What is what, you know, because I'm not a niche guy. Like I'm a no lectins, or I'm a keto guy, or I'm a thyroid, or autoimmune. I don't do that stuff. It's all of it. So it's a framework called Balanced Protocol, but I wanted people to have the prime understanding. So Balanced Protocol Prime is a place where you can see where you can go and, you know, do that program. Now, the reason why I did is so people can understand where I'm coming from, because most people just don't know. Their doctors are just, you know, they might hear them or something resonate with them, and then they kind of go for that. But I wanted to be a lot more transparent and give much more information on what the approach is, because it's pretty vast. Balanced Protocol.
Yeah. So I did my homework. I actually went through the whole protocol. I downloaded everything. I went through it all. I took a bunch of notes. And obviously, there's no way we're going to like lay out the whole program on today's podcast.
There's no way.
That's why the program exists. It's like hours of audios and lectures from you and PDFs. But there are a few things I wanted to ask you about specifically. You lay it out in terms of what you call a 2-5-3-8 framework. Can you explain what those numbers actually stand for?
Yeah. So it's actually a 2-3-5-8. So it's a Fibonacci, right? So it's technically.
Well, I'm dyslexic. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Me too. So it's fancy when you're using all them letters and numbers. But the 2-3-5-8 is a real simple understanding. It stands for the two questions, the three phases, the five causes, and the eight systems. The Balanced Protocol Prime goes through all that tremendously. But just for the record, two questions means you always have to be asking, what do I need to add? What do I need to remove? Not like, oh, I need to take this and take this and take that. Or I can't have this, I can't have that, and it fixes that. It's always add and remove. Three is the three phases. So we always got to do things in the right order. Order of operations is critical in anything. You know, you just don't start with like, say, well, you're ill, you got a problem, let's detox, because that sounds real sexy, right? And they're like, well, you're assuming that your body has the ability to handle an induction or a forced adaptation of removing stuff that's been sequestered in tissue for a long time. You can't. You know, you can't just start pulling anything out of the body and expect the liver and the kidneys and the bowels and your lymphatics to be able to do it. So it sets the order of operations, the phases. So we always talk about nourish, balance, purify. So you want to nourish the body, build it up, then begin to balance out systems, and then you can purify it. So that's what that is. The five is the five causes of all diseases. There's five and only five. There is no other cause of disease other than the five, which are nutritional deficiencies, stressors, microbes, allergens, and toxins. That's it. Every single thing can fit into one of those five categories. And most of the time, it's not just one of those, it's multiple of those. Mm-hmm. But when you look at them in that way and you framework it, you go, well, man, okay, well, those will be my targets of assessment. And then, of course, eight stands for the eight systems of the body. Everything fits into those. The first one being environmental inputs. Number two is GI. Number three is mindset and cognition. And number four is immune system. Basically, when it comes to the inflammatory cascades, there's lots of them. There's not just inflammation. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to structural, and that's both on the cellular level and the physical level. Then we move on to oxidative stress and the energy production systems. Number seven is neurotransmitters and hormones. And number eight, the last one, is biotransformation and detoxification systems.
Biotransformation. What's biotransformation?
Well, that's the correct term, because one of the things that people have to realize about the body is everything is electrochemistry. I'm a huge Tesla fan, okay? So add him to my list of mentors. So.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Like Jerry Tennant. Robert Becker's book.
Yeah, well, Becker, yeah. Tennant, no. I find Tennant to be a fraud.
The guy that wrote what's his book? Healing is Voltage?
Yep.
Isn't his book kind of like based on the concept that we're electrochemical machines?
Yeah, but he bastardized it. He dangles pendulums over people and spins them in directions and tells them that this thing. I mean, that guy is...
Oh, he does the pendulum thing?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you should hear the... See, I do my research, and that's my personal opinion based upon discovery and belief. And if you ever, one thing about me is you ask me about somebody specific and I'll tell you specifically what, and it's because it's my opinion.
I don't know. I was over at Ann Louise Gittleman. She calls herself the First Lady of Nutrition. She writes a bunch of books. She actually doesn't live far from me. And my wife and I were over at her house for dinner, and she did that pendulum thing on my wife and told her,
bogus.
She told her that her kidneys weren't functioning properly. And, and my wife actually does get like UTIs and actually has some kidney issues. And so I thought that was interesting.
It is. I get it. It's like cold reads, you know, like those guys that used to be on like, you know, the Donahue show, and they do all that dog and pony show. It's not repeatable or quantifiable in this stuff. And I'm a bioenergetic. I've spent tons of time, years at the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I've studied all of it. Applied kinesiology. And I know this might disrupt some people, but that's, you know, this is the difference between, you know, all of us. So they can use similar vernacular. Yes, the body is voltage. Well, of course it is. Now, Robert Becker absolute genius. I mean, must read, right? Mm. So that's in there. But Tenet completely blows it all together.
All right. So back to biotransformation.
So biotransformation is the body is, you know, it's all energy, frequency, vibration, right? The body is just a great big old vat of electrochemistry. That's all it is. The body is a an amalgamation of things that are on the periodic table of elements. That's what it is. So when molecules are introduced into the body and the body, they're foreign to the body has to process it through chemistry. And it's always electrochemistry. Everything is EMF, if you will. The problem with, like, say, the periodic table of elements is there's no number or thing that has to do with magnetism. We talk about electromagnetism. You can't have one without the other. But the periodic table doesn't show anything reflective of that part of an irrevocably yoked concept.
So explain to people what that means. Like why is it the periodic table wouldn't have magnetism? And why is that important when it comes to something like biotransformation?
Because the thing about this is there's different properties that are always together. There's always positive and negative. Infinitely together, though it might not seem that way. Just like a magnet. A magnet has a positive and a negative end. You cut it in half, and what do you have now? Two pieces that have a positive and negative pole. They're omnipotent. It requires an understanding and a different way of looking at the body. So when I use the term biotransformation, you know, you take in a molecule and the body processes it, you know, through what I call a divinely created intelligence. It has to process it through things like people have heard of methylation and transsulfuration and conjugation. That's all words of molecules being added and subtracted. It's the same thing when it comes to amino acids. You know, every single thing is what I call the CHO, C-H-O, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, amino acids, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, plus or minus nitrogen, phosphorus. Fatty acids, same thing. They're all made up of the same stuff. And so the body biotransforms. It's the proper, better way to look at it is a transformation bio. Detoxification is kind of a misnomer, but it is a concept that we understand. It's not a matter of taking this to get the body to remove that. You're assuming that it has the resources to do it energetically. So I use the term biotransformation. That's what I mean when it comes to turning things that aren't us, we call it food, into us. It has to be programmed and biotransformed. Like I can do a muscle core biopsy on Ben Greenfield's vastus lateralis. Mm-hmm. And I can't go, oh, he got that from grass-fed bison. No, it's you. It has no signature whatsoever of where you derived it from. You can't tell if it came from venison that you shot with your bow. It has to biotransform it into us. That is a harmonizing effect that has to occur. The body has to break it all down and reassemble it into us. That's tuning. It has to do it that way.
Okay. So what you're saying is like in the case of let's say detoxification in the liver, you know, let's say like, I don't know, something people might consume every day, like say, you know, caffeine from coffee, that has to be neutralized, I know, by the phase one detoxification pathways in the liver, transform to a more chemically reactive form so it can get metabolized by like phase two enzymes. That transformation would be an example of the biotransformation that you're talking about, where you're either, you know, in the case of the liver, I forget with caffeine, whether it's a methylation process or how it is that's actually occurring in the liver. But what we're doing is we're actually converting, transforming it from one form, whether it's a pharmaceutical or something like caffeine, into a different form where it could then pass out into, say, like, you know, skin, stool, sweat, blood, etc., after being conjugated or sulfated or acetylated or glucuronidated or you know, via any of those steps that happen during phase two detoxification in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but it's like for instance, you're right on the money. Like caffeine is a very positive therapeutic agent. People go, oh well, coffee, caffeine. Well, that's not true. That's like saying male, you know, penis. Well, the penis isn't the same for every male, right? Mm-hmm. So the caffeine derived from its source is not always the same. There's an infinite energy signature from different things. You have a great understanding of that, you know, with your you know, coffee and stuff, which is awesome. So the thing is, yeah, you go like, well, we know caffeine is cleared through a cytochrome P450 called, you know, 1A2. Mm-hmm. That has to be made by something. That enzyme has to be made from a substrate, what's other food that we ate before. You know, it's not just infinitely there. It's literally a physical molecule.
Arguably a lot of substrates, because isn't there like 100 enzymes that make up the cytochrome P450 system?
Oh, lots of them. And they're called P450 because they maximum illuminate at 450 nanometers, which is the blue, that mm-hmm. the number one, you know, of course, spectrum that comes from our digital devices. So again, what's funny is we actually have a encoded gene that actually has a characteristic of light, which is pretty interesting. So, you know, 450 nanometers. That's why they're called cytochrome P450s. But yeah, so biotransformation, it's one of those things. Listen, I love to remove toxins from the body, but I don't do that ever first on anyone, no matter what, because you can't just assume that the body has the capacity to do that. And that's why so many people have troubles. You got people out there who go push through the pain and, oh, it's just a Herxheimer reaction. Keep going. Your body's intelligence says, no, sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's whoa. You know what I mean? You can't assume that. So that's why that 2-3-5-8 framework really keeps us sober, because it sets the order of operations of doing all the wonderful things that you reveal and you teach to people to open their minds, that you got all these things in the toolbox, but you have to sort through the person's unique story, existing with their unique environment, within their unique lifestyle and their unique mindset, and that needs more information than just, you know, living vicariously through what you might hear somebody else do.
Okay, that makes total sense. Now, kind of related to this concept that we were talking about detoxification and, you know, things perhaps getting biotransformed in, say, the liver and passing out into other areas of the body, you described the body as one giant excretion machine. I think I came across that term when I was going through your Prime Protocol. What do you mean by that?
I mean, we're just built to push stuff out, right? We got poop, we got pee, we got sweat, we got boogers, we have tears. Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of secretions from our nether regions. So the body is just constantly taking in things that are not self and processing it either into self, and then what it doesn't want to use, sending it to get tagged and bagged to leave the body. So that's all we are. One of the things is that's a very arduous process for certain molecules, because certain molecules have certain electromagnetic consequences. You know, their electrochemistry being present has to be dealt with, right? So we swallow food, it goes into the gut, and you've got a variety of things that it starts to get tuned. We hit it with a real strong acid, then it makes that left turn at Albuquerque called the duodenum. The duodenum, if you're nasty. And then we put the bile salts in there and the pancreatic stuff and all those. That's all electrochemistry to tune it. So then we can now absorb it. Now it goes into circulation. Well, then that now gets delivered to tissues. And they have to, like a fireman brigade, you know, one person grabs the bucket, hands it to the next person. You got to go through all these cells. And then in between two cells, there's a matrix. There's an in-between space between spaces. And then it gets in the cell, and then it has to go to different organelles within the cell. So you got all these things in and out. In order for things to go in electrochemistry, we know we got to push some things out. You know, sodium going in, potassium coming out. We got calcium. There's all kinds of those minerals are what really provides that energy, frequency, and vibration for everything, right? So that's what I mean by the body's one just great big old excretory apparatus. That's really what we are. And we got to be mindful of things moving in and out, you know, nutrients in, byproducts of cellular respiration out, physical solids, some are in gases. They all have different, you know, things to that. Emmanuel Ravici's work was instrumental in me understanding what the membranes are.
Whose work was that, did you say?
Emmanuel Ravici, okay. You know, and what he did was, is he bound certain minerals to certain fatty acids to get a certain result. That's the whole thing. You got to pass through that membrane that is electrochemistry, right? You got the sterol heads and the free fatty acids on the inside. You know, like our mutual friend, Dr. Pollack, talks about the, you know, EZ and the exclusion zone, right? It creates a positive and a negative zone. Everything is an infinite energy frequency vibration to where we have these constant subdivisions of positive and negatives within other positive and negatives. And so we have that along those membranes. And if we don't take that into consideration, well, then we wonder why some people say, oh my gosh, they love all the powders of the, you know, what I call the fairy tree, like cinnamon and turmeric and all these other things. The thing is those are higher frequency things, because they are a construct of various Cho, right? Different things that are on the periodic elements. But I try to encourage people to focus on minerals, vitamins, fatty acids, amino acids, because everything boils down to those anyways.
Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit,
which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know, but all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy, and it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around, and you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. All right, folks. Well, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break a bad habit than quitting that bad habit, cold turkey. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor standing on a nail bed or something like that. I'm talking about this thing called Fume. This little thing called Fume holds a hallowed place in my fanny pack, actually. Been hitting up the maple pepper core in that thing quite a bit. So anyways, the Fume is not a vape. It's a flavored air device. You breathe natural flavors through it. Like I said, I got the maple pepper core loaded up in mine right now. Turns out black pepper really hits the spot, so I can feel satisfied without breathing in or chewing on anything bad. It's amazing. I've got another one called the crisp mint core, so I can breathe in mint flavored air rather than a pen infused with something else. You know what I mean? That kind of bad habit that isn't good for you. Instead, you just basically use this pen, and it is an essential oil pen. It's amazing. A flavored air device. You get the taste sensation and the fidget and that hand-to-mouth action, but you don't have to feel guilty about the habit. It's a good habit to have. They have a whole bunch of natural, delicious flavors. It's not a vape. Don't get me wrong. It's a natural air device. It's fully legal. It doesn't have anything bad in it. I even use it on an airplane. I get a few funny looks with people who think I'm vaping on an airplane, even though I'm not. It's just basically flavored air, and it tastes great. I found it made my cravings go out the window. It's weird. It's a crazy life hack, but it works, and it's super sexy and cool looking too. So it's called Fume, F-U-M. You can get 10% off this thing if you go to tryfume.com, tryfume.com. Use code BEN to save 10%. So you can accelerate humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up what's called their Journey Pack today. It has a whole bunch of cool flavors, including that crisp mint core and the maple pepper core, two of my favorites. So again, tryfume.com/BEN and use code BEN to save 10% off your order from Fume, F-U-M. Minerals, vitamins, fatty acids, and amino acids. Would you say that you categorize nutrition more based on a balance of those versus, say, focusing on the traditional macros like carbs, fats, proteins?
Yes, but there's also some great work when it comes to back to Watson I was talking about. He was the one who created the terms of fast oxidizer, slow oxidizer, suboxidizer. That's reflective of a person's ability to biotransform those food sources. And then they are then incorporated into your cells that sets a big part of what your metabolism is, right? What your oxidative type is. And based upon that current status of that, you know, biochemistry determines what your macros should be.
So is that similar to like Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez's metabolic typing? Is it kind of drawn from that
very
work?
Very similar.
That, for example, if you're sympathetically driven, you might need to balance yourself out parasympathetically via the inclusion of, say, higher intake of what might be considered like you know, plant-based type of foods. And if you're parasympathetic, you might need to balance yourself out by eating more sympathetically stimulating foods like, say, dairy or meat, things like that.
You got it. Now that's exactly right. What do we have to add? What do we have to remove? And you know, Dr. Gonzalez's work was really cool, very familiar with it. There was a lot missing there, with all due respect, I say. And I think that's one of the reasons why Dr. Stillman inherently saw that. But then when he learned balanced protocol, he goes, oh, that's what he was missing. But that's exactly right. So I let a person's biochemistry determine how they're fed, particularly in the resolution of chronic conditions. Right. You got a lot more leeway, you know, when you're somebody like you. You know, you can really mess with a bunch of stuff and be in tune to it. But, you know, you're a, you know, an ultra one percenter. Right. So most people don't have the luxury of doing it. I've looked and done your lab. So
that's true. You know? Now, how about you? When you say the body is one giant excretion machine, for Dr. Anthony Beck, like for you, do you actually do things each week or as part of your routine that help to, I guess, enhance the excretion, so to speak?
Yep.
What are some of the core principles that you do for yourself?
Well, balance protocol, key number one is the environmental inputs of air, water, light, sound, EMF, and food. So those things. So of course, how you breathe, you've covered that in so many podcasts of different ways, the influence of that. I'm sure your listeners understand the difference between mouth and nose breathing, various techniques all the way from Wim Hof and your ass off to, you know, Kundalini, right? So there's that. And then of course, everything in the body happens in a fluid environment. So water is absolutely critical, but then that pegs the question, well, what type of water? Then of course you got the water charlatans and all the alkalizer people and the Kangens and stuff. Then light, circadian rhythm governed and has an influence on all those things. Sound and vibration does too. And then of course your EMF. So you got to control for all of those things. I blanketly and universally account for all of those everywhere, every day.
Okay. Let's delve into a few specifics. Like there's actually a few things I actually want to ask you about that are specific to this idea of optimizing your environment to enhance your ability to be a better giant excretor. So air. I went through your air module, and you've got a bunch of like tactics and tools in there to address air pollution. But like, if I was going to walk through your home and your office, are there any specific either central air filtration mechanisms that you have, or houseplants that you have, or like air filters that you like and use for yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, and of course, the first thing, you know, what do we get added mode we have to remove? So first of all, I don't bring things into the house. That's the one thing. So I'm not a, you know, a chemical guy. Don't burn, you know, any kind of, you know, candles and stuff like that, or burn sage or puja and all that fun stuff.
Really? Nothing? Like not even like beeswax candles or anything like that?
Nope.
Really?
Absolutely not. You put those near a meter and you'll understand. Now they sound cool and all.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course they're black body lights and they're the right spectrum. So in one fractal micronage, they're actually, it can be a healthy thing because they're a good force of light, but at the cost of what? The thing is I don't introduce anything that is combusted. So I don't do that. I have, you know, porcelain tile through my whole house. I've got very little carpets. So, but that doesn't mean don't have some of those things. I don't want anybody to think that I'm dogmatic, because I'm not. Hell, I'll smoke a stogie from time to time and eat a Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah, I was going to say like the use of, you know, smoke or combustion, for example, to deliver certain elements to the human body kind of seems like it's built into us from an ancestral standpoint.
Well, and that sounds like that, but in my clinical experience, it actually isn't. Now, do I think the occasional combustion of, let's say, hitting a little bit of, you know, DMT in the right context of the individual, you can inhale it? Well, of course. But I'm talking about the regular everyday stuff. So I don't introduce certain things into the house. I'm a big fan of having plants in the home to, you know, help with that. They're not like a huge purifier, but they do make a difference. The other thing is I believe in opening up your home, you know, at certain times of the day when the, you know, the early morning or at night, so that way you can get an exchange of air, right? Because stale air is a big problem. My air handling system, I use higher MERV rating filters, at least a 13.
What's a MERV?
That's a classification of you know, how well something actually does filters, right? So MERV ratings basically stand for minimum efficiency reporting values.
Okay. Gotcha. Right?
So you can look up MERV ratings. So a higher MERV rating to kind of hit, you know, a smaller, you know, micron a particle. I will use, you know, ions from time to time. I created a little ion machine myself that just, you know, hooks up to a voltage converter. And
Like a negative ion generator, you mean?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. So there's that. And then, of course, I'm a big fan of the EnviroCleanse, which is an electrochemistry purifier, not a pico, like a molecule, which I find to just be a really inferior product. I know that steps on a lot of people's toes, but I've tested them all, and that's the difference. I mean, everything that I recommend or say that I do, I don't biohack it. I put it through a rigorous thing. But anyway, so little things like that for air, that's what I do. And of course, you know, my water is all remineralized and structured, all that kind of stuff. My lights and things, I don't have all that.
We'll get into water and lights for sure. I want to stay on air for just a second longer. Because what about when you travel? Because that's what I run into is, you know, I have like peace lily and English ivy and a lot of these plants that were studied in the NASA Clean Air Study kind of scattered around the house. I've got one of those molecule air filters. You know, I also have one of those Air Doctor air filters, and I'm married to either. Those are just the two that I happen to own.
Yeah, any of those help mitigate. I'm just talking about what I use. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, we keep the windows open. We got a central air filter. But then when I travel, it's just like all that gets thrown out the window. And you know, I'm curious. Like, if you walk into a hotel room, are you traveling with anything, or are you just kind of like undoing the damage when you get home?
Well, exactly right. So in other words, you mitigate the best you can when you do travel. I call it the controlled burn. Right? Life has to happen. I'm not traveling anytime soon. As long as there being mass Nazis, I just won't do it, and I haven't in a year. So, but yeah, you do the best you can. You know, I mean, you have tons of things, little stuff that you do in your hotel room, same kind of stuff. You know, I am a fan of the they're called First Defense nasal screens. You know, you put the little screens, you know, like they look like little band-aids, just cover your nostrils. Going to be in, you know, that pressurized tube called an airplane or a bus or something like that. And it's not so, you know, overly doing. And that's just particles. Of course, it doesn't block a lot of things like exosomes, aka, you know, viruses. But yeah, so, you know, I do a nasal cleaning, right? So I'm a big fan of the Navage. So I keep my big old nostrils cleaned out and bathe those bad boys, or then I'll astringe it with some vodka, right? Just rub it up in there.
Yeah, it's one of those old Ayurvedic tactics. I just interviewed a gal from Ayurveda. She cleans out her nose every morning, and I actually didn't start doing that yet. I do use like a intranasal glutathione spray. That's got some essential oils and things like that in it called Glutastat, and that does a pretty good job. And then I often keep my nasal passages pretty well lubricated. I have a little bit of sesame oil that I travel with and just dab that inside the nostrils when I'm, you know, getting
on the
plane.
Yeah, you want to put the moisture back in there. I've used anything from a Burt's Bees lip balm, Aquaphor, whichever ones. You know, in other words, astringent, wash it, flush it, and then keep the good stuff in there. And then in the shower, that's one of my other big things. I'm a big fan of what I call nasal clearing. You know, I stick my fingers up in my nostrils, open up those passages, and just get a few blows out there and just blow the whole thing out.
Yeah. You know what else I like for that is a jape, like the Amazonian herbal medicine that you can just like huff up your nose. That cleans you out big time.
Yeah. I mean, so there's little things like that. But again, I try to let people know that, you know, balance protocol is truly freedom. It's not dogmatic. It's not an approach to where you have to be perfect all the time. But there are different things and approaches and protocols that are for some and for some not. And that's one of the big things that's missing out there in the info space is most people are just going to tell you all the things that you need to do without any context of you. No exclusionary criteria. But that, well, the science is. And I say, okay, you're absolutely right. I love the literature too, but I'm not in that study. So just that I might be that age and gender and that category, that's not how I live mine. So I would be an outlier in that statistic set. So the thing is there are people who don't qualify for the study. And there's certain things that sound really great on paper, but are contraindicated to people. You know, speaking of air, there's a lot of times where, you know, ozone and hyperbarics is absolutely contraindicated for people. And we hear about all the benefits of it from that. If that's the person's niche, you're going to tell everybody could do it. I'm going to say, hey, it's a very powerful and highly potentially clinically beneficial thing. Therefore, then, it could also have a tremendous ability to do harm. That's the balanced understanding people have to realize is that not everything is for everybody. And if you're going to look at something, you have to find out what's my inclusionary and exclusionary criteria for my current situation. Because I've seen people wrecked by keto. I've seen people absolutely marvelously their life turned around by it. I've seen people wrecked by vegan. I've seen them absolutely brought off death's bed by vegan. You name a therapeutic, I don't care if it's a diet, a cryotherapy, a water therapy, a light therapy, I've seen benefit and I've seen detriment on all of it.
That makes sense. Now what about, so you talk of course about air and then you talk about water. And obviously, there's a ton of different places that we could go with water, and I've done plenty of podcasts about water. But of course, kind of similar to that, you know, if you were to come over to my house, I've got basically what I have is well water. So I've got to pass it through a manganese and an iron filter first, and then it hits a carbon block, and then finally like a vortising device, you know, to restructure it. Then it goes into my home, and then often I'm putting like a pinch of sea salt in there, you know, to remineralize it or you know, some trace liquid minerals. So that's how I drink my water. And then I also drink just because I like my fancy food drinks, I drink a Pellegrino or Gerald Steiner, right? Like I often have some bottles of those in the refrigerator, and I used to just drink it straight out of the bottle. Now I pour it through one of those handheld water vortexing devices so I can structure my fancy sparkling water, and I drink that. What's like your water filtration hydration setup look like for you right now?
Like that. I mean, I have a really good, five-stage RO system. You know, I built it off the backbone of an Apex system.
What's that mean if it's five-stage? That means it gets filtered five times?
Well, yeah, we'll go through five different steps, right? So, of course, you got a sediment filter. You're going to go through a carbon, then you're going to go through like a KDF medium, and then you're going to, go through the RO stuff, and you're going to go through the structuring, part, remineralizing, and then I add a structuring device that, that I make. And I have that run hard, I have a whole house system, which you can't do a whole house RO for realistically. But then my RO system goes to like my ice maker in my refrigerator and my pot filler over my stove. So that's if ever I need my water, I just go to that tap. So that's what I use.
Do you have any non-water based beverages that you really stuck on during the day that you like to drink? Like for me, sometimes it's a Zevia soda sometimes.
Yep. Listen, I'll rock some LaCroix from time to time, sometimes some Waterloo. It's pretty benign, right? Those things are pretty good. Sometimes I'll use them for the basis of, using my magnesium hydroxide converted to mag bicarb water, and I'll do that. Various salts. I'm like a collector of salts from around the world. All salt is sea salt, technically.
What's your favorite salt?
Oh, man, it's so hard to say. So you're trying to get me there. I like some La Fleur de Sol, the French. Hey, I'm a big fan of that. Himalayan's got a little too much iron, for me. But, it's again, you determine it based upon, your test. You can quantify what's better for not. But I love some Topo Chico mineral water. That's really tasty. Gerold Steiner because it has a higher TDS in it. A variety of things.
Now, in the Prime Protocol, you throw around the word chromophore a lot, especially in the water section. And a lot of people might not really realize that about water. What do you mean when you see the water inside of us? Like after we consume the water, it's a chromophore. What's that mean?
Well, the thing is chromophore, right? So in other words, the understanding is, first of all, I tell people, back to the energy frequency vibration thing, the cells have a lot of stuff in it. I always kind of laugh at the space because like, oh, mitochondriac. And I'm like, well, I'm an endoplasmic reticulum act. Now, all the organelles are just as important as the others, right? And so there's what I refer to inside the cells, a tremendous amount of turbulence. There's so many things in there, right? It's not like this floating bag with these things like you typically see in a book. The sum total of everything that's in there, whether it be, gaseous things or whether it be minerals or metallics, different things on the table, right? It's going to make up how your body responds to other things, even including different photobiomodulation things that we do. Everybody's all into red light, but I'm like, listen, there's tons of healing that can happen from blue light, tons from tangerine, tons from, turquoise. How your body responds to those has a lot to do with, number one, the voltage that's in your environment and going through your body, various EMFs you got to control for, which is why the pendulum stuff can't work. These people are doing those pendulum things in offices that have, flickering, light. Just don't get me started. Chromophore basically means that when light, visible light particularly hits a chromophore, it basically it has to do with the excitingness or the excitation of various electrical components that are in within the cell, right? So there's what we call conformational changes. You know, our friend, you know, Bruce Lipton, right? Which a biology belief is a great representation of a signal or a stimuli outside of the cell, and it's conducted through that protein linkage, and then it goes through and it has a conformational change. It literally opens or closes and hits another thing. So there's that on the membrane, but there's also that along the membranes of the various organelles also. Remember, there's these doors within doors, like in the Matrix, you know, the gatekeeper, the keykeeper, that Asian guy was running through all the doors as the keys. You know, you have a door that goes into a room with another door and another door. That's why I say the body is a chromophore, and the different things that are in there based upon all these different adjacent electrochemistries affect the way that water within it acts and conformationally organizes based upon light. It goes like EZ, you know, we discovered that by, you know, shining light on it. And they saw that that caused things to exclude. The light stimulating those things that are in and around the cells to conformationally change. So that's what I mean by being a chromophore.
Okay, gotcha. And basically, when we have water inside our bodies and we're getting exposed to a full spectrum of light along with healthy hydration levels, then that chromophoric activity is kind of like upregulated.
It's affected. So the chemistry of your various fatty acids, amino acids, and minerals within there is going to determine how you react or not. Because, like, for instance, there's some people who will do, you know, photobiomodulation and not get anything out of it. The question is why? There's some people who will take various minerals because it all depends upon the last name of the mineral, like zinc picolinate is not the same as orotate or monomethionine, right? So that mineral on an amino acid is going to act different in light or exposure to various voltages or EMFs. And so you got to you know, kind of account for all of those things. So yeah, you can do a lot of the right things, but there'll be certain things missed. And if you're not doing them in the right order, you're not going to get the same clinical result.
Okay. Now, you mentioned light a few times. Obviously, we pair that quite perfectly with adequate hydration and water intake. But I noticed that in the light modules, I was going through your Prime protocol, that you say to avoid some of these common wearables like the Fitbit and the Apple Watch. Why is that? And especially, why would that be in the light module?
Well, because the thing is they're emitters of light. How they get it back, it's kind of like, you know, you know, either you go to the hospital or, you know, you do some, you know, our McEwen's work, you know. So, the thing is oxygen advantage.
Oh, yeah. Patrick McCown.
Yep. Yeah. The pulse oximeter on your finger. Interestingly enough, that's a 660 nanometer light on there, by the way. That's how they're looking at it. But the thing is so when you put that light over your blood, like Fitbits and Apple Watches, it's more in the green spectrum. You have it constantly on a very powerful convergence of points per TCM and meridian theory right there at your wrist, right? If you've ever gone to a TCM practitioner, you know they're going to do your pulse, right? They're going to put their fingertips on there.
Right, and that's right where that wearable is emitting typically like some kind of a green light on the underside of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you have all these other chromophores like your blood whipping by there and getting that particular harmonics programmed to it. You know, aside from the fact that it's, you know, a power source there, I don't like to keep a power source on the body all the time either. There's a electromagnetic field for that than the light. I just don't think they're there. I just don't think it's a very beneficial thing. Some people, you can look at it and like, well, it's not because they were wearing it and having an allergic reaction, but they have a very interesting reaction. And maybe, you know, in the comments of this podcast, people can put in the comments and share that if they have had what I've seen on dozens of times in patients, that there's this odd reaction that happens there due to wearing those particular devices.
Yeah, no, I got that. Like, I'm not going to name them right now, but one company wanted to sponsor the podcast and I messed around with their device for a while. And it emits a light on the backside of it as a wearable, you know, daytime and nighttime wearable. And my sleep suffered, my HRV dropped. I didn't like the way that wrist and arm felt during the night, and eventually had to go back to just using, you know, what I use right now is the Aura ring, which doesn't really create any light at all. And then on any other wearable that I use, like I have this other thing called a Hapbee, which uses like a magnetic signal to simulate, they simulate everything, like friggin' ketamine, MDMA, cannabis, like caffeine.
Yeah, it's neat.
You name it. It's kind of cool, but it has an annoying green light on it. And for anything like that, same thing with like the little Juve light I keep next to my bed. I just go ape nuts with the electrical tape. I tape over all little lights, and that usually does a pretty good job. But I'm kind of unable to do that with the wearable because there's a, you know, the light is there to function, to take a reading, and so it kind of defeats the purpose.
So it's more of a prolonged use for me. I mean, if you put it on real quick, got a reading and took it off, I don't think that's an issue.
Right. Right.
But, you know, that's what I talk about. I have a principle I call source, form, dose, frequency, and duration. That what's really makes if something is going to be potentially detrimental or beneficial to you. You have to take into consideration not just it, but the context of how long and to what degree. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Chinese water torture, like, you know, like one drop of water is not going to bug anybody. It hits your head, like, okay, great, okay. But have it hit the same place in the same volume over time, and you'll see it's a big difference.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Got it. So careful with your wearables, folks, if they're emitting a light. I think that's a really good tip because a lot of people don't realize that. Now, you also, I know we're bouncing around here, but I just want to like get into the flavor of a few of these things because I love picking your brain. Sound. You got a sound module. And one thing you talk about in sound that I don't think is a term I brought up much before on the show is toning and self-toning. How do you sound to tone and self-tone?
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier the term like ancestral and stuff. We look at previous history of people doing things, right? Things are common. You'll always find everyone's always got a fermentation. They all have an alcohol. They all have a different thing. Well, one of the things they always have is a sound. They always have a rhythm and a beat. Well, sound is profound. It's one of the big missing things for so many people. Now, of course, sound is an EMF too, right? Everything is energy, frequency, vibration, but it's a different frequency. But the thing about it is so toning or self-toning, we do all the time. It's like when you get injured, you're going to go, oh, you know, or like the Peter Griffin, you know, I'm a Family Guy, you know, he gets his thing when he just milks it. Ah, right. Same thing when we have sex, sometimes we're sucking our teeth. That's a toning. What you can do is you can also, whenever you want to relax, you can induce a physiological response by the things that we just naturally do. You just do it more. Like, you do that kind of a thing multiple times. So breathe properly, hit your control pause exercise, and then start to do these, and it will relax you like nobody's business. So you're invoking a sound. Of course, then there's tuning forks and singing bowls. My concern with those, sidebar, because I've been doing sound for a long time before it was cool. People try to do too many at once, right? Remember, keeping in consideration, if you don't know what the turbulence is within your cells, don't be throwing all that cymatics in there, right? So you don't want to do too many tones at once. There's some that are complementary, some that are or building, some are destructive. And sometimes we need those. I mean, we can induce certain things for more catabolic, more anabolic. There's all kinds of stuff. But for toning and self-toning, one of the good old-fashioned ones through the sands of time is the ohm. Learning to chant an ohm, you know, you don't have to sit in lotus and do your little fingers either.
Yep. No, I love that. I'll ohm when I walk, you know, like from one telephone pole to the next. I'll just say, okay, I'm going to ohm until I get to that telephone pole. My wife and I will sometimes ohm during sex. My kids will ohm during breath work. But yeah, just, I mean, the way that you feel when you move the energy up your body and do that.
That's the cool thing about churches and singing and choirs. Did over talk, nice little tone there. But yeah, brother, I'm telling you, it's the sound part is, I think, one of the biggest things that I think most people haven't explored, maybe because all the niche pickers haven't jumped on it yet. But
Well, it just kind of works its way up your spine as you do it. And, you know, you talked about the I think you said the EnviroCleanse device that you use, which I think is I believe like a Rife frequency based device.
They actually use minerals to capture elements. They neutralize it through an electrochemistry. Yeah, there's no.
Okay. Yeah. There. Have you used a biocharger?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have one of those, and it's got a chakra setting on it. It just does kind of a body sweep, like from your root all the way up to your crown chakra.
Based on my clinical experiencing evaluation, it's not something that I align with. So that's I would say that. But everyone has their experience. Well,
I certainly align with it. Okay. It makes me feel amazing. As a matter of fact, I have this other device called an AO scan, which kind of like scans your energy centers, and I'll sometimes come back from a bunch of travel and it's lit up like a Christmas tree as far as reds and yellows and ideal is green. And then I'll pop in and do that chakra balancing session on the biocharger with some Omni and come back in and scan. And it's just like all perfectly aligned and I feel great.
Sure. So, have you ever worn a Wooger?
A Wooger? Does that measure how woo I am?
No, man. It is a sound vest, and it's dope sauce.
How do you spell that?
Wooger. And so you put that vest on, and it tunnels it onto your body.
There's I have worn something like that at it was Peter Diamandis's event, his longevity and anti-aging event. They had a bunch of AI people, or not AI. I guess it would have been AI. No, VR. And it's like a haptic sensation vest that you can wear.
Play some Call of Duty with that thing on, man. Talk about tasking your autonomics. Holy moly. But the strap, not a fan of. The vest, man, it is the dope sauce. I tell you one thing. And if you get your right tones and channeling, because it does have a Bluetooth thing, but I don't do that, of course. I do it with the stereo plug. Oh, man, nice. You know, you get
some, oh, wow.
It's a great experience.
I have a sound healing table. I have the biocharger came with the bioacoustic table, and I'll like get massages on that and just play really, really great sounds. You know, like the composer, Michael Tyrell, he has some really good like sound healing, like whole tones.
Yep.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. You know, one of my buddies, I think he wore that. He's like a plant medicine practitioner, and he got talked into wearing this Woozer like during a plant medicine protocol to enhance the effect. And he said it was just like he said he didn't like it. It was just like the weirdest thing ever. It was almost like distracting.
It is. Don't overdo it. Of course, everyone's going to do it. Of course, they're going to go Ben Greenfield on it. They're going to take it to the extreme, but you'll dial it back in. So have fun with it. But remember, anything that has the potential to be helpful, it can also be harmful. So you got to do it in the context correctly. And you can overly tune and tone your body for sure. So just be mindful of that.
All right. Got it. Another thing that you talk about, of course, is EMF mitigation.
Yeah, sure.
And obviously, I've done a lot of shows on that and unpacked it quite a bit. Yeah. But I'm curious, have you ever looked into like biogeometry or this concept of using almost like sacred shapes to create a kind of like a black hole that absorbs a lot of these EMF-based frequencies?
Yes, I've studied extensively. I've done it with meters and oscilloscopes, and I have come to the clinical understanding that none of those do any mitigation at all. Haven't found one that does. Not at all. None of these, you know, organites, none of the pyramids, you know, none of those things. And I have done so much in it. Because listen, I love the geometry. I mean, it's God's signature and on everything, right? I mean, when I look at the periodic table of elements, I look at it in a spiral, not in the chart that people do, right? There's some amazing shapes that no one has seen. If you train with me in my preceptorship program, you learn that stuff. But it just doesn't. I mean, crystals, everything, all the shapes, you know, the C60, I've played with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Using quantifiable, measurable, repeatable stuff, and then and even with biomarkers associated with that intervention. I don't it's not in my toolbox to use or to teach. I just don't.
Yeah.
It's cool though, man. I mean, there's a lot of really neat stuff out there.
Yeah, I've tested a ton of those. The only one I found that actually causes my HRV to near instantly rise, like if I use the moment function on my Oura ring and put it on, is the pendant, the biogeometry pendant that you just wear around your neck. Mm-hmm. That one just seems to work.
Well, be mindful. Some of these devices, get a Geiger counter and take a look at the radioactivity on them. Of course you can. Of course they'll do some things. There's various poisons that'll make you feel good. And a certain amount of radiation can actually make you feel good. Again, we're talking broadly here. Well, I have found some of those pendants to be radioactive.
Like they produce ionizing radiation?
That is correct.
Really? Even if they're not electrical themselves, even just the shapes themselves?
That's correct, because you got to look at the company and where they get the minerals from that they press into the pendant.
I interviewed this lady who wrote a book on hormesis, and she's involved with Blackhawk Minerals that sells radiated stones that you wear that emit things like uranium. And she sent me some cross. It's like King Solomon's stone.
Sure.
And it's irradiated stones. I put that thing on and almost immediately felt nearly sick. I mean, it's producing a substantial amount of ionizing radiation. Yeah. Interestingly, I kind of stuck with it. The longer I wore it, the more the feeling kind of went away. But still, when I put that thing on, like I feel it right away, you know. And of course, they say, oh, you're detoxing or whatever when you put it on. But man, some of these things you hang around your neck, they do produce ionizing radiation. I didn't think of measuring the biogeometry one with a Geiger counter or anything like that, but that's an interesting idea.
You got it. It's a really fun thing to do. And then the other thing is, like, I mean, it's one of these things in quantifying the environment, because that's my principle, Q square, M square, qualify, quantify, measure, monitor. You'll learn that in the Balanced Protocol Prime course. But like our smoke detectors, they actually use radiation to actually do the detecting. So there have some of these americium, you know, americium. It's actually in smoke detectors, right? And I've had some people that have been in their environment. They like to sleep on the floor, and there was a smoke detector underneath them. So in other words, there's things that you have to look at differently than what most of the time people are saying. I'm not dogmatic about it. I mean, I have a phone, of course. I don't have any EMF in my house. Everything is all wired and stuff. And I talk about all that, of course, on the EMF module in the Balanced Protocol Enviro course. You got to be mindful. That's why I always tell people, quantify for you and in broader consideration than just that thing. Sometimes it's not good for you based upon your current status of systems biology.
What would be the number one thing that you have in your home for EMF mitigation?
I have a server in my garage that everything comes into, and everything is wired. So that's the first thing. I don't have any smart technology in my house at all. Not my mouse, not my keyboard, nothing. I mean, I don't have anything that does any of that stuff.
What do you do for internet?
It's wired. I ran shielded Cat 6 to all my locations. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do is Cat 6, metal shielded Ethernet.
Yep, absolutely. My house is awesome. You take a meter to it and you're like, oh, people, they feel it too. They're used to it. But again, you know, if I step outside, I'm still getting some, you know, in other words, don't be dogmatic about, you know, EMF, but limit your exposure. But there's a lot of that. I cover that exhaustively in the EMF module for sure.
Yeah, you do. I went through all that.
Yeah.
One other question I wanted to ask you was about minerals. Like our whole last podcast was all, well, not all about, but a big part of it was about mineral imbalances and electrolyte deficiencies. I think that's how I first met you. Was when I was using that oral IV supplement for some of my racing, and you were working with that company, you know, and I know you're big time into electrolyte replenishment, but you talk about salts, for example, but do you have anything else that you're big on for addressing mineral imbalances or electrolyte deficiencies?
Yeah. So, I mean, you get it by default if you follow Balanced Protocol's environmental inputs, right? Air, water, light, sound, EMF, and food. It kind of self-lubricates. However, depending upon certain stressors that you put yourself onto, like you and the, all the Spartan races and the world's toughest mudder, that kind of fun stuff. Remember that day? Oh my God.
Oh, the one out in Vegas.
Yeah. Remember when we were out there with,
oh my goodness, got so cold at night. Literally, I could barely feel my legs. I thought I was going to be competing out in the desert covered in sweat. And I'm just like hypothermic.
It was so bad. I will never do that again. But anyway, so the thing is that I'm a big fan of minerals in my water and in my food. And then of course, you know, proper testing to evaluate them, to understand the nature of minerals in your body. You've got to do it through blood, and secondary is hair. And so the thing is those will give you the better picture, and you can adjust for there. I mean, I'm more in love with potassium than I am sodium. That's for sure. It's rare that anybody is sodium deficient. That's why all these electrolyte products with all that sodium is kind of crazy. Potassium is for the win. So there's that. But then I'm also mindful of the difference in the different combinations, right? Because you can have it depends upon their valent charge, right? On the periodic table. Are we talking about a monovalent cation or a monovalent anion? And then are they bound to a monovalent anion or cation, right? So it just depends. So they're going to act different. A zinc citrate is going to be entirely different than a zinc picolinate. Okay, a sodium chloride is going to be different than a sodium citrate. The actual full-on construct of the molecule itself is going to determine its chemistry and its effect on your electrochemistry. So sodium chloride can actually coagulate blood, but sodium citrate can thin it out and increase its zeta potential. Right. So minerals are awesome. You know, and that's I like them by their independent, you know, source, them separate from anything else. But of course, we do supplement different ones for different things. It just depends upon where do I want to keep that zinc? Do I want it to go into the cell? Then I'll use a zinc orotate. Do I want to keep it in circulation in the blood to exert its effect there? Then I'm gonna use it with a citrate. Zinc citrate. So it's different.
Do you test people for mineral imbalances?
Every single one of my patients, it's mandatory.
What kind of test?
Well, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, I like the Genova Diagnostics NutriVal Plasma. So that way I can get some, you know, zinc, copper, magnesium, manganese, potassium, those guys in the proper source of where we're getting it. There's a difference between RBC zinc and plasma zinc. It's different.
That's a good test.
Yeah.
So this balance program, people would sign up for that, and then can they just like tackle it all on their own time like I did, just like download it all and go through it and read all the PDFs and everything?
Yeah, so Balanced Protocol Prime, it is the – remember, that's the introduction to Balanced Protocol, the method overall. Balanced Protocol Enviro, that covers the first key of Balanced Protocol. You know, and then, of course, my coming programs are Balanced Protocol Gastro, which is key number two, Balanced Protocol Neuro, which is, of course, key number three, and so forth. So Enviro is about 50, almost 50 hours of instruction and videos broken up into the air, water, light, sound, and EMF,
yep.
You know, and nutrition realms. So there's that. Prime is free. You got to invest in Enviro because it's a heavy course. It's not one of – and you know. It's not one of these ones where it's the quick little
– Yeah, I converted it all to MP3s and listened to it while I was, you know, out walking and stuff.
Yep.
And then just after I'd go for a walk, I'd review the PDFs during lunch. It only took me about a week to get through.
Oh, nice.
You know, all said and done. But usually I'll do that stuff and just like take a deep immersive dive.
Yes.
And so it's a really good program though. Really good. Yep. You know, and again, Leland kind of turned me on to it. Then I checked it out and then got you on the show to talk about some of this stuff. Cause I actually think it's a really great one for people who want to optimize their environment, you know, for the things that we've talked about today, like air, light, water, you know, electricity, sound, et cetera. So pretty darn comprehensive.
Yeah, it is. I really was long winded in it cause I didn't want to have people spend all the time going around to all the different sources for it and try to put it all together. And the big differences in there is including inclusionary and exclusionary criteria and methods mm-hmm. to quantify it for you specifically. So yeah, it is really good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's one of the things that it's a starting point for everybody, regardless of what you're trying to do, increase performance or try to resolve any type of chronic disease. And I know that's, you know, it sounds like a commercial, you know, okay, got it. I'm a capitalist, but at the same time, it's robust. I mean, it's pretty yeah. exhaustive of topics.
Yeah. And practitioners can do it too.
Oh, sure. You know, and all the doctors who train with me, all my clinicians, you know, they go through a long, you know, training procedure with me personally, and you know, they all realize that I gotta, you know, make this pretty, you know, not mandatory, but hardly emphatically encouraged for all of them to enroll and go through, because it saves them a lot of time too, because you can self steer, because you know, when we're consulting with patients, we only have so much time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only so much time, and there's just so much to for a person to you know, get in to transfer from one, you know, person's brain or thing into theirs. And so that type of coursework is really beneficial for doing that and saves them a lot of consulting time and money, you know. So I'm quite proud of it. It's a wonderful thing. The upcoming programs for gastro and neuro and immuno, those are mind-boggling too. I just wow. I have to hold myself back because I can just go in for so many areas.
Well, you know, I wish I had a full list of all these different at the beginning of the podcast. You listed all those doctors and all those books.
Man, yeah.
There's so much there, but
yeah.
But obviously, you know, if you've already studied up the guys, you know, I'm all about the, you know, another McCown. You talk about Patrick McCown. There's a guy named Greg McCown. He wrote a book called Effortless. And, you know, big part of it is don't reinvent the wheel. If some expert has already studied up on a bunch of stuff and mm-hmm. saved you the work of having to read all the books, just
Amen.
Go to that expert and listen to their stuff because they distill down the information a lot of times in a culturally appropriate manner, meaning you know, if some book was written in the 1700s and you know you've read it and distilled down that information to something that someone in the 2000s can more easily digest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all about going that route and working smarter, not harder. So if any of you do want to work smarter, not harder, and kind of dig into Beck's brain, I'll link to his programs and everything else that we discussed, along with my I'll link to my first interview with him as well, because we talk about some really cool stuff there, like you know shrooms and plant medicine and the dangers therein, potentially, you know, eating seasonally, yeah. you know, lectins, a whole bunch more. So
and there's a second one. This is our third time on here together.
Yeah, that's true. This is our third time. Yeah, because we did one on minerals and electrolytes as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of
fun. So yeah. So I'll link to all that if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/prime podcast. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/prime podcast. And Anthony, as usual, it's been amazing having you on the show.
Thank you, brother.
You're a wealth of knowledge. And you know, I like that you're a smart doc, but as you said, you're a good old country boy too.
That's so, it.
Much love, man.
Thank you. Much love to you too, Ben.
All right, folks. Well, I'm Ben Greenfield along with Dr. Anthony Beck, signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com/prime podcast. Have an amazing week.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.